Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the second Sunday of the Epiphany season, and like I said earlier, it's also Life Sunday. To have an epiphany, in the general sense, is like having a fresh awareness, a revelation of something that you thought you knew or understood. I read an article about a subject most people like to think they have a good understanding of. The article was on happiness. The article, and most people also find that happiness is elusive. And when I read the article on the idea of happiness, reading that, it was like having my own little epiphany. What is it that people want? What did our constitutional forefathers say we had a right to pursue? Happiness. Well, that's nice. But what is it that we are to pursue? How do we attain happiness? Now, according to the article, happiness derives from meaningfulness. Meaningfulness. Your activities, your work or your pleasure, when they have meaning or significance to a person, that is when most people find that they are the happiest. Doing something, doing anything, as long as it has meaning, brings about a sense of happiness or satisfaction. It's kind of like petting your dog or your cat. That has meaning, because you can sense that there's something significant in it for them. Happiness doesn't come from a lack of doing or from having nothing to do. But happiness comes, according to this article, from being engaged in something meaningful. Now, that revelation, that epiphany, for me, I think that's something that's important for us today. In the Old Testament and the Gospel lessons, we see that God knows that this is true about His people. And He has given meaning to the work of His people. Now, in the Old Testament lesson that was read for us, you see a brilliant message of meaning. Listen again to verse 6. This is what it says. "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel that I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." Jesus' work had meaning in this world because He was sent for all people to see that He is chosen by God, to reveal God's goodness and mercy, His love, grace, and salvation in this world. And how does God do that? How does God reveal that Jesus is His servant on earth so that the earth recognizes Him as that? God does it through Jesus' baptism and Jesus' work. Now, in the gospel lesson today that follows Jesus' baptism, follows after that, we hear John declare to the world the truth that Jesus is revealed as the holy sacrifice for sin. And he does it in verse 29, where he says, "When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.'" Jesus was shown through his baptism as the sacrificial Lamb of God. Jesus is the servant. Jesus is the servant, according to the Old Testament lesson, sent from God to both restore the tribes of Israel and, significantly for us, to be the light of salvation for the Gentiles, so that the whole earth may know God's love. And through baptism, we have the same meaning applied to us. That is, God makes us His servants also. We too share in the calling of Jesus Christ from the Old Testament lesson today, to be a light in this world, revealing the salvation of God that God desires for all people, for every single person on this planet to know and to rejoice in. That salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone and His righteousness alone. Now, we are not the Lamb of God that John declared, but we are made God's servants through Jesus' sacrificial work and His victory and our baptism. That was His meaningful work. That sacrificial work and His victory, that was His meaningful work that was done in our place. Now, His victory becomes ours, like we spoke of last week, in our baptism. And so does His message. And that message of God's salvation for the world is what gives you and I meaning and significance in everything that we do. Now, God's love for this world, if you think about it, is very simple. And yet, it is so upsetting to us that it is so simple. We think it should be harder than it is. In fact, we want it to be harder so that we think that we've earned something or accomplished something or done something. The truth that you and I know is that the only thing that we have earned is God's wrath, God's judgment. We wanted significance, but we settled for sin. And on this Life Sunday, it's easy to see how real sin is in our world. God alone is the creator of all life. And yet, we have chosen to put ourselves in the place of God. And we decide we have the right to take life away, whether through abortion or euthanasia or other means. We put ourselves in place of deciding that we humans can take the right unto ourselves to take a life. We have violated what God said was good. Good was God's judgment about His creation. Good was God's judgment about life. We have, at least in this country, put the pursuit of individual happiness above the right to life. Yes, happiness comes from doing things of significance. But in the face of letting personal pleasure or choice come before God's gift of life, how can we not see that our world is indeed sick with sin? After the suicide of Adolf Hitler, there were two military chaplains that inspected his bunker, the apartment in the bunker. On the wall was a larger-than-life-sized portrait of Hitler, but found among a few personal belongings, there was a necklace containing a small cross, a small head of Christ. One of the chaplains said to the other, "This," speaking of Nazism, "this is the result in the world when man becomes big, like the portrait, and God becomes small." When Hitler made his choices, the world condemned him. Today, when individuals make such a choice, it's protected as a so-called right. Now, this handout in your bulletin that I wanted to make sure you all had, it speaks, like I said earlier, to the death numbers. And those are the numbers that such a right has led to. Now, it would be easy for me to stop here and let us all feel sad or angry and resolve to do something, to do anything. And then after a while, the passion would fade and we'd let our anger or sadness subside. And again, it's also tempting for me to take what I started out talking about today and browbeat you by saying, "See, if you want to be happy, Here's something of significance you can do. Go and work for the pro-life movement. And if I did that, I might feel better. A little bit. But again, only for a little while. However, neither of those things speaks to what God has done for us in reminding us this Sunday that life is His creation. And we're meant to guard it and to protect it. Only God, in His mercy, comes to us and He gives us significance. Only by faith and through baptism do we attain true significance. God comes to us and He makes us His own. By the gift of Jesus' righteousness applied to a person in baptism, we're changed. And all that we do, every single thing that we do, is now given a sense of meaning and purpose far beyond our own desires. Remember from last week that the battle has been won. Through Jesus' holy, innocent death on the cross, and by the power of His resurrection, He defeated the powers of hell. The victory is made our victory over sin, over death, and over the devil. And that message is what we're given to give to others. That's the message that we pursue. We're to point to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All sin. Even the sin seen in the numbers on our handout. We take His message of forgiveness and freedom, of peace, of reconciliation, and true significance, true happiness as it comes to us from the gospel today. Listen again. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Because of what John had said of Jesus, Andrew began to follow Jesus. And what was the first thing Andrew did? He went and told his brother, Simon Peter. That going and telling was meaningful activity. And I believe it would have given him happiness, the happiness like we spoke about earlier. In what Andrew did, we see what God wanted and what God still wants today. For the word about His servant, Jesus, for that word to be spread to others. For the world to know, as he said in the Old Testament lesson, for the world to know that God's salvation is for everyone. There is no one you can talk to who is beyond the reach of God's forgiveness. No one. The peace and reconciliation that comes through the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ is for every single person. What do we say that we're about here at Zion Lutheran Church? Say it. What is it? Let's say it again. Hearing, sharing, and living the gospel. That gospel is the significant thing revealed to us in Epiphany. We're given that same significance in our lives that Andrew had, to tell others that through the Messiah, the forgiveness and love of God has come to each person in the whole world. In the name and in the life of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen.